WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority has heard arguments on adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census. And the people who read tea leaves say it appears that the court is getting ready to side with President Trump on this matter, even though some say this could be a disaster for policy and even the economy. Joining us this morning is Professor Jay McCann. He's a professor of political science and co-coordinator of advanced methods at Purdue University. Professor McCann, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
This is a conversation I think a lot of people have been having in recent days and weeks. Let's kind of tell people where we stand right now. I mentioned the Supreme Court heard arguments on this. They're going to be the deciders, apparently. It sounds like they're leaning in the side of putting this on the census.
That's right. I think as much as one can infer by the kinds of questions that come up during these conversations, it does look like they're leaning that way, mostly kind of leaning towards giving the Trump administration wide discretion to do this.
Has there ever been a citizenship question on the census before, and why is this such a big deal?
Yeah. Well, just to remind everybody, every 10 years, everybody living in this country is asked to respond to what's called the short form of the census. So like half a dozen questions asking how many people live here, you know, what's your ethnic background, that kind of stuff. The last time a citizenship question was asked on the short form was 1950, so it's been quite some time.
The people who put together the census and others like yourself suggest that there is going to be a large number of people who don't answer this question because they are not citizens. Is that a fair way to describe what the fear is here?
Yeah. It's hard to say in advance. This is a tough thing to forecast, and there hasn't been a lot of kind of preliminary research to see the risks of that. But there have been lots of different studies and academics to suggest that, yeah, you know, if you put on that item, then you're going to kind of breed a sense of distrust. You might see, oh, maybe a reduction of, say, 10% of response rates just because of that item, as a rough guesstimate.
10%, that's a high number, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be a high number. And you use the word disaster. From a policymaking standpoint, it's really important to get as exact a count as you can, right? Because lots of resources go into doing the census and a lot of decisions are made based on that kind of data. So you want to get it as right as possible.
From an economic standpoint, we do that here on this program. If we don't have an accurate count of the number of people in the United States, economists say that there will be less money going to some federal programs, maybe student loans impacted by this, Section 8 housing, the economy, other parts of the economy could be negatively affected by not knowing how many people are in the United States.
Yeah, that's one of the risks, not only from a government policymaking standpoint, but also, you know, a lot of business planners use census data. It's a public resource, right? So when you're forecasting your own decisions, that can be a real useful database.
Yeah, and one of those CEOs, the CEO of the Nielsen company, David Kenney, recently, he was one of the people who was on the side of folks who are urging the Supreme Court not to put this question on the census. He says that this could be not just a disaster, but a catastrophe for business.
Well, yeah, it may well be. And to circle back to the point about, you know, how much should we expect the undercount to be, you know, we're really in a very gray area here. Surveys suggest as much as maybe 10% of potential respondents might be, you know, extra skeptical about responding. There have been experiments done to show other percentages. So we really are kind of flying blind a little bit on all of this.
You have had a past in your past. Part of your career has been serving Latino populations. Do you think that there's a chance that what we're talking about here is a little bit of hyperbole? Or what is your personal history involving these questions being asked and responses given?
Sure. Yeah, I have conducted lots of surveys among Latinos, including foreign-born Latinos. And you can, in fact, ask them about citizenship status. I mean, this is something that individuals are aware of, and they will respond validly in the context of a survey. But social researchers need to work real hard to establish trust in the first place. So, you know, that would involve conducting lengthy interviews, getting to know your survey subject, you know, reinforcing this kind of rapport that you have. You know, the census is just not set up to do that. You know, you'll get something in the mail or on email, and if you don't respond, then an enumerator may come, and there's this kind of implicit sanction that if you don't do this, then you might be fined, for instance. So it's very unlike a social science research project.
You mentioned the trust part of this, and that's at the crux of what I think our conversation is about this morning. There's this idea that if I answer on the census that I'm not an American citizen, if that question makes it on the census, that something will happen to me. What's the privacy around the census? What is the chance of something like that happening?
Yeah, well, there are hard guardrails, you know, to protect the data. I mean, administratively, the census raw information is not to be shared with any other agency or anything on paper. Okay, so the current practice is to really protect confidentiality. That being said, when you look at just general impressions among Americans, but especially immigrants and especially Latino Americans, there's a lot of skepticism out there about whether those administrative laws are going to be followed. And given the high stakes with a vulnerable population, right, who might worry about getting stigmatized, it's natural to expect that, you know, there's going to be some wariness about responding.
You know, we're talking about the census question as if it were a one-off that's just going to happen at one point in our history. But the answers and the results of the census could impact us for another decade. I think that's why this has so much interest and weight for people.
Oh, yeah. In this country, the census is one of the most significant data sets that we have for all kinds of planning purposes. And the Constitution mandates only every 10 years, right? So if we get an exact count this time around, we're going to have to wait a while before we correct that down the line.
Do you have any advice for the Census Bureau if this really happens, for them to sort of make sure that more people are counted and take part in this? What kind of work has to be done before we actually get these forms in the mail?
Yeah, well, time is really short. I mean, ideally, if you were going to do this, you'd want to do lots of pre-testing to see, you know, what kinds of people are less likely to respond. And you'd want to engage in a really significant public information campaign to reassure people that, look, you know, it's okay to respond. And you'd also have to invest an awful lot. I don't know how much investment they've done at this point in hiring the extra staff who are going to have to go out into the communities, because you would expect that there's going to be a big personnel burden out there. You know, if there is non-response, then you're going to have to send out, you know, on a case-by-case basis to all these different places to try and get a better count. So it's just, God, it's a daunting task when you think about it, given the real short time horizon.
Yeah, and there's something, too, called the American Community Survey that will be impacted by the census as well. Talk to us a little bit about that. What's the American Community Survey?
Yeah, the American Community Survey is an annual kind of subset. So think of it as, you know, a very small version of the census that doesn't have the big numbers on it, but it does have a much longer form attached to it. And so for instance, for a lot of business planning purposes and policy purposes, they ask all kinds of items that wouldn't appear on the short form, you know, having to do with marital status or, you know, income profile, things like that. Okay, so that's been a very rich data set for folks, and that is a subset of the census. Okay, so anything that sort of would depress participation in the census might have a ripple effect across related databases.
Well, Professor McCann, we appreciate you being on with us this morning and giving us a little bit of insight into what's happening here. I guess all eyes now will just be on the Supreme Court and see how they come down on all of this.
Yes, well, happy to Happy to talk with you.
Professor Jay McCann from Purdue University. Professor McCann of political science, also co-coordinator of the Advanced Methods Lab at Purdue University.